Hello and welcome to Matt's Truck and Greg podcast. It's Matt Ireland once again, and today I am joined by my good friend Lee Herbert. Lee, how are you?
I'm not too bad, mate. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. Very good. Enjoying the summer and all the upcoming shows and the ones that have been. Now, we obviously talked on the previous Truck and Driver podcast, but I thought as we might well have new listeners, we'll just sort of go back to the start and just see how did you get into transport as such, because you're not actually physically involved really in day-to-day transport anymore, are you?
No, I'm not. I was, as a lot of us were, I was one of those young kids who wanted to be a truck driver when he grew up and never really grew out of it.
Yeah.
My dad had his own truck for a short period of time back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And he had one of his best mates had was a truck driver and drove as well. So I was always quite involved, and he had lots of friends who were driving. So I was always able to go off in the school holidays with, you know, various trucks and different things and see a bit of the world. So,
oh, brilliant.
And never really grew out of it, if I'm honest. And I'm of that golden age where I left school at 16, and in them days you couldn't take HGV till you're 21. So
that's right, yeah.
I had to find something to do, and I thought about doing HGV mechanicing, and I did work experience at a garage and realised I only like looking at the shiny top bit and not the dirty bottom bit. So I then went into the gas industry, which once I did that, that was sort of, you know, good industry to be in. And carried on with that, and then eventually got to the point I was still involved with trucks, going to shows, and lots of friends had trucks as well. So I was always been good friends with the Coles family from Banbury, who were very well known, and then eventually took my test and then toyed with the idea of having a toy lorry for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then eventually in 2005 I bought my first one. And now it's got completely out of hand.
So, so after you did your test, did you actually do any driving, or did you just get it for the show trucks?
Yeah, no, I used to do quite a lot, because I actually did my test with one of the Gary Coles' brother, Darren. We did our test together. So, and I then did lots of nights and weekends. I forget how many I did do, but quite a lot.
Yeah.
Always like helping them out, helping me out. And really enjoyed it. Just did it for fun, really, which was great, you know.
It's ideal not having to rely on it for an income, just for the love of it when you want to.
Yeah, exactly. And luckily for me, with Coles's being the people I did the work for, they've always had some pretty special trucks, which was nice for a truck nut like me.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're not fleet spec plain white trucks, are they, Coles? It's fair to say.
No, they're not. And I've got another friend, Lee Hunt, who his dad, Roger Hunt, used to run a fairly well-known F12 back in the 80s and 90s. So I used to go to shows with him.
Right.
So yeah, I was very lucky, really, surrounded by a lot of good people with some nice trucks, which gave me the opportunity to do what I did. So
yeah, brilliant. Because Roger Hunt, didn't he deliver child's play sand or something like that?
That's right. Yeah, there was a company called Goundry's, which was in Duns Tew, just near Banbury, and he had the haulage contract. He basically used to bring it in raw in a tipper.
Yeah,
they'd process it, clean it, do whatever they do with it, bag it up, and then he'd then have a curtain cider, which Lee used to pull.
Right.
And they then used to go and deliver it. And there, back then, the Early Learning Centre was their biggest customer.
Got you.
So they used to do that. So Roger used to do, I think it was Redhill down in Surrey.
Yeah.
He used to do two of them a day with the tipper. And then Lee was always out doing delivering the finished product, so to speak, on pallets.
Yeah, ideal. So from memory, red Globetrotter with a white Globetrotter cab.
That's
top.
Right.
Yeah.
And then later on, they had a F-regulator one, which was white with a red writing. So,
I remember that one.
Yeah, that particular truck is just, it's actually when Roger bought it, he bought it off a guy called Michael Janes, and Michael Janes has just got it back.
Oh, really?
It was sold. Roger sold it. Well, I actually sold it on eBay for Roger back in the day when I was sort of fairly advanced on eBay when it just came out, and I sold it for him on there to a private collector. I'm not sure where it was.
Yeah.
And this guy was a private collector, and I never got to see the collection. I did speak to Roger, and he did say he'd take me there one day, but never did get to see it. Allegedly, the guy who owned the collection passed away a couple of years ago, and the vehicles then were sold. So,
right.
But it's quite nice that it's gone back to the Janes family.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
would you have been tempted by it yourself?
Not really. I think at the time it came up. No, not really. I've had few too many. As I said, it's got completely out of hand now, and I've currently got 8 lorries, which is just beyond ridiculous. And yeah. I've got 3 that are still waiting to be done,
yeah,
as in restored. So, yeah, we all want it all, don't we? But you do it occasionally, although I'm not very often, have to be a little bit sensible. So,
so what was the very first one you did then?
So the first truck I had was a 143, which I bought off of Coles, which was the original John Phillips Effridge 143,
yes,
that was yellow. Coles, yep, has bought it off of, I think it was a guy called John Finney who bought it off of John Phillips.
Yeah,
they had it in yellow, and then they then painted it blue.
Right.
And it had some aircraft airbrushing on it.
Yeah,
because Denise Coles, Gary's mum, she was fond of aircraft. She's a big aircraft fan, so
okay.
Had some airbrushing. A nice truck, but I bought it, and unfortunately, just after I bought it, it ran out of MOT, and it cost me an arm and a leg to get through MOT, and it very quickly put me off. So I advertised it and sold it. Luckily, I got my money back and made a couple of quid on it as well, which was quite nice. And at that point, I thought, right, I need to have a thing. And then I'd got the bug by then. So I then bought another old 143 that I didn't really do much with and sold that on. And it was then that I bought my one that was one of my most well-known trucks, was my 143 Tag Axle.
Right.
Which was in 2007 I bought that.
Yeah.
Again, couldn't really afford it, but we never can we? So
that's it.
I bought the truck, had a cheap paint job done on it, and it was cheap, which,
yeah,
it was meant to be a post office red, which turned out to be orange. Although I still called it red, I will admit now it was fairly orange. But just as time went on, and as I sort of saved up more and more money, I got the interior done on it, got the stacks done on it and catwalk, and then eventually had it painted into our colours.
Mm-hmm.
And it really did turn into a nice truck in the end. But
yeah,
bless her, she was a bit of a dog when I first bought her. But it was straight. It just been well worked, you know.
Just a bit tired.
Most of them have. So,
yeah, exactly. Well,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
They're not generally bought to be show ponies, are they?
No, they're not. Absolutely no. So, but no, that was a lovely lorry. That was, and then went on with getting the Volvos then, and you know, it just went on from there really, and then. Had a bit of a sort of midlife crisis in 2017 and sold the 143, and then bought a 4 Series. That was for Josh. And then we then changed the 4 Series for Josh's, which he's now got his R Series,
yeah,
which he's obviously he's still got, is quite well known. And then one thing led to another. I sold the flat top F10 I had, which that sort of financed the T-cab then, which obviously I've got now. So, yeah, and then other trucks have come along in the meantime. I've got an F10 that's been in paint for 3 years, which should be coming out shortly.
Yeah.
I've got my new FH16 that's come out this year, which I'm really pleased with. So that's good. That's still got to have the interior done. But and then we've got a 143 round headlight, Highline F10, and a F12 Globetrotter as well that I'm waiting to get done. But of course, can't do it all at once.
No, that's it.
Yeah, so quite a collection.
That's a hell of a collection. I mean, it's difficult to say, but do you have a favourite? Would that be the T-cab or?
I don't know, really. It's hard to say. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say to me they don't think I like the T-cab as much as I love the 143, but I do. I love the T-cab. And with the thing you get when you get a truck like that and do it from the ground upwards, it's your very own, you know, which is nice. And we've got the FH12 version 2 as well, which my daughter drives mainly now.
Yeah.
But that, again, is a beautiful truck, you know, and so many people out of all the lorries we got say that's their favourite because it's just sort of plain and simple, really, you know, just set of alley wheels, couple of little lights here and there, and, it does what it needs to do. So
yeah, it's very subtle, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you've got a lovely livery with the two-tone green, haven't you? Which I think, does it come from Banbury Carriers, something like that?
It does, that's correct, yeah. When I first sort of started doing them and realised I was going to be able to paint a truck in my own colours, I wanted to do something sort of to do with Banbury, but of course I'm not in a family of hauliers or, you know, no tradition there. And Banbury Carriers, I always remembered and liked their colours.
Yeah.
I don't think it's everybody's cup of tea, you know. I mean, the light green on his own is quite honestly disgusting, but with a dark green, it's...
contrasts it well.
Yeah, it really does. So, that's how that came about.
Yeah. Are you ever tempted to put something in a different colour scheme?
Well, I've just done the FH16, which I've repainted that. That was metallic grey, and yeah. I've had it done just a slightly darker metallic grey because I think the old traditional colours, I've got away with it on the T-cab, but I think the more sharper shapes of the vehicles, I wasn't sure whether I could make that work.
Got you.
And I do love a nice dark metallic as well. So so we've gone a bit of a different approach really with the FH16, but it's come out really, really well. So chuffed with it.
Excellent. So, and you've obviously got a living accommodation trailer, but have you got any way of transporting several of them at once, or is it?
We have bought a low loader. We sort of ummed and ahed about it because, of course, it's again another thing that's got to be maintained and MOT'd, and
that's it, another cost.
Absolutely. So, Coles is, funny enough, had a low loader that they were getting rid of a couple of years ago, and very reasonably priced. So we bought that, and that's great. So we can now take a couple of lorries on the back of one. That will help, or does help.
Yeah, definitely.
But Josh likes to take the older ones, the ones that aren't restored yet, which can lead into problems because it blocks them. Bit of a funny story. We took them into the ring, and I run the modern commercial section at Bloxham, so I do the commentary when the vehicles come into the ring.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lewis, a good friend of ours, he was in the 143, which had got dead batteries on it, but we jumped it to get it going, and I said, whatever you do, don't stall it. And Josh come in the ring in the Globetrotter, which needs a new steering box on it, so it's got no power steering. So, and I noticed he'd stopped down the back, and there's a lot of vehicles in the ring, so couldn't really see. He probably just decided I'll keep it going in a straight line, so I've got to try and turn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, next thing, the arena's emptying out, and he's on the back of a wrecker, and because the clutch had gone on the Globetrotter, and just after that, I looked, and all the vehicles were moving. Lewis is sat in the middle in the 143 with his arms in the air, and had stalled it. So I'm then running from one end of Bloxham Steam Rally to the other to go and get the jump pack to, because nobody thought to just pop the jump pack in the lorry just in case. So twisted my foot on the way back, and I was just like, for God's sake. But,
just having a good day.
Yeah, I had some choice words for Lewis. It was,
I bet.
Yeah, but no, it's all good fun. It really is all good fun. And of course, saying about the Bloxham Steam Road, I organise Fred Fest with Fred Parker.
Yeah.
So we do that on the early May Bank holiday.
Yeah.
And I also run the modern commercial section at Bloxham as well, and of course I do the retro, so it sort of gets, it's getting quite busy now really. I don't know where the year goes, but it sort of soon comes, and you were saying, well into the shows. I know. Well, the scary bit is I always sort of mark retro as getting towards the end of the season, and we're only sort of 5 or 6 weeks away now, so
it's mad, yeah. It really
it's
is
crazy.
It's unreal. So we'll start with the retro because it's probably the best known show that you do, and it's one that we talk about an awful lot on the podcast because it's my joint favourite show, I'd have to say, with Swedefest, because I love both of them for several different reasons, but I couldn't pick one or the other, I wouldn't have thought, but I always make sure I can go to both. But how did retro get started? What sort of caused you to create it?
So it started back many years ago. I was in a group called the Steel Boys, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Yep.
And I was quite heavily involved with that. And at the time, the sort of Graham and Steve originally sort of ran it, and I joined them and sort of got involved, and obviously very enthusiastic. So I said, if you want any help with anything, just let me know. I'm happy to get involved a bit more than just sort of turning up to the road runs, etc. So anyway, I did get more involved, and it got to the point that there was initially two events that took place. One was the Christmas do, which was always a really, really good do. We pretty much took over a hotel in the Cotswolds and had a really good knees up on the Saturday night. And Steve Evans was always, really, really good on the microphone and good fun. And there was an awful lot of piss taking going on and, auctions. And so that was really good. And then Graham sort of ran the road run, which was in June, which always coincided with the Gade and June show.
Yeah.
And we discussed doing this show, the Retro Truck Show, for a couple of years. And then when it eventually came to fruition, the two of them sat there and said, one of them said, well, I do the road run. The other said, well, I do the Christmas tour. I said, well, I guess it's down to me then. So, which we did, we all did it together, and we did it for a few years, and then got to a point, I'd done what I'd done with the Steel Boys and decided to sort of pull away. No hard feelings, just sort of wanted to move on really with what I was doing, you know, with the trucks.
Yeah.
So I moved on and carried on the retro. Then Graham and I carried it on for a couple of years. And then Graham said, you know, he sort of had been doing the trucks for 20 years now, and he sort of wanted to pull away. So that sort of left it to me.
Right.
Which at the time was fairly daunting, to be honest with you. The same with anything. If you've got an oppo when you're doing anything, it all sort of sharing it is halving it, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah, and that was sort of fairly daunting for the first couple of years. But sort of as time went on, I've got an amazing team of friends and family, and of course my children have grown up now since 2011. They're both in their 20s now. Josh is 22, Lauren's 26, so they're both heavily involved in it. And you know, my wife, as always, is behind me with everything. I've got a real good group of mates who turn up every year and just do what they do, really. So but a lot of people, as you said, seem to share the same opinion of the Swede Fest and the Retro. Although the two shows are completely different, they're both totally unique as well.
Yes, definitely.
I think the thing is, they're organised by enthusiasts for enthusiasts, if it doesn't sound too much of a tacky thing to say. But, we arrange a show how we would want a show to be if we went to, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. You're not like the big corporate... And I'm just using Truckfest as a name here for argument's sake, but they're out there purely to make money out of a show. That's their job. That's their lifeline. Whereas
it's a commercial enterprise, isn't it?
That's it, exactly. And your first and main aim isn't to make money. It's just to have the show.
No, it's to have the show and for it to be a great weekend, everybody enjoy it, and for it to wash its face, basically, which is what it does. And if we make a couple of quid on top, we put it to charity. And
there you go. It's not even being done for profit, is it?
No. So that really, that's a nice part about it. And so it just sort of grown and grown and grown, really. And we fairly hard on our sort of rules and regulations. We don't have air horns, we don't have engine revving, we don't have trophies, so there's no pressure for people to come and, you know, spend all weekend polishing their trucks.
Yeah.
Everybody does come along and have a wipe round and black their tyres and, you know, make the trucks look presentable and nice, but then they just relax. And I think that is the key behind people's favourite.
I genuinely do, because instantly the pressure's off. And if you've got a project that's, say, half done, but it's on the road, you can bring it along, and I don't think I've ever seen or heard any sort of member, anybody there, you know, sort of picking apart a motor just because something's not quite right, because everyone just is glad to see it there more than anything, really.
100%. That's lots of people say to me, oh, my truck's not good enough. I said, there's no such thing as good enough for the retro. Yeah. We want to see, you know, it's really great for people to bring out stuff that, you know, if it's started to be restored or, you know, just finished work, it's great for people to see the progress that takes place over the years, you know, with it visiting the show each year. So that's a good thing. Yeah. One thing that we do have with the retro is a lot of people sort of don't really understand that I personally call retro a sort of rolling 15 years, really. So when we first did it back in 2011, of course, 15 years ago, it was like 1995, 96. So that was your Scania 143s and your Volvo F10s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's now moved on, and we do get a little bit of feedback, and we do have some modern trucks there, because we get, you know, we do get some people want to bring some really, really nice stuff that you just don't get to see elsewhere. So that's the only negative feedback we do get occasionally. People say there's too many new trucks there.
Yeah.
But I think we have a nice mixture, and the new stuff that is there is really, really good and really, really nice. And, you know, it's not, we haven't got rows of sort of fleet lorries or anything like that, which you do get at Truck Fest. So.
And it's just, it's better to have a space filled with a nice truck than no truck at all. Because if you've got, if there's 50 empty spaces because you're strict on that rule, then it's also going to put as another person come through the gates to spend some money that will raise for charity and have a good weekend and pass the word on to somebody else, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So. And, you know, and that's what we want. We want a nice full show. And we have sort of not outgrown the venue, but the venue is, I mean, in my opinion, it's probably one of the best venues in the UK to have a show at, purely because it's predominantly hard standing. You've central. Obviously got the central. Yeah, you've got the museum on site as well. Yeah. But of course, we are limited on space. So it gets to a point that we have to sort of draw the line, you know, and some people say, oh, it's outgrown the venue and stuff like that, but I wouldn't want it anywhere else. So.
Well, that's it. Where else would you take it? You know, it'd be
yeah.
And again, like you say, with the museum there, but if people come along with their family, especially if they've got people who aren't necessarily into the trucks, but then go and look around the museum as well, and that's a brilliant place to look around. And I tend to find I never get the time to really look around it because I'm just so busy talking with people and having the crack outside that it's just one part that I've just haven't had a walk around for a couple of years now because there's so much going on outside.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I mean, I obviously go up there for meetings throughout the year and stuff like that, and I usually walk through. I thought, oh, I must one day, you know, take a couple of hours to have a walk around here, but yeah. I never do.
You're never going to have time on a retro weekend. No, exactly.
That is the beauty of it. And from my point of view as well, obviously, that because it's already a venue set up, it's pretty much plug and play. We obviously have to put on some extra toilets and stuff like that, but as far as sort of medics go and all the backup facilities and security, it's all there. So yeah. That really, really does help as far as organising it.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I will say for this year, you're very kindly sponsored by CVA Auctions, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Yeah, they've come on board this year. Got to know Jonathan last year through one of the other auctions that they did, and he mentioned that they'd be interested. And I do believe somebody not too far from me right now is bringing some auction pieces that's going to be the following weekend. Is that correct?
It certainly is, mate. Yeah, so the CVA auctions have also sponsored this particular podcast. So I'm just going to chat about the Ben Kemp collection that I will be bringing three trucks from. I'm a bit gutted because he's asked me to bring the FH16 and not the F16. And Ben's F16 is my favourite truck of his whole collection because it's my favourite truck, I think, of all time, really, when I look at it.
Yeah.
So Ben's collection, as I say, there's an F16, which is left-hand drive. There's Scania 143, 450, streamline, top line, another 4x2 left-hand drive, Italian import, I believe it was. What else has he got? The FH16, that's a 4x2. There's a Ford Cargo. There's a Ford D series. These are both rigids. There's a bit, I think there's one Bedford TK, possibly two. There's one Bedford TK, I think two Bedford TLs, a Scania P cab rigid. And there's a little Dodge, I believe, as well. And I think that might be it. I need to just double check, I think. But every single truck, there's also a couple of others, I think, that I haven't seen personally. But every single truck that is there that I have seen, they are all been restored to a show-winning standard. There's no two ways about it. They're all a complete blank canvas as well. They haven't got any extra bits put on them anywhere. They're all the same shade of red with like a dark grey chassis, completely standard and done to a very high standard as well. Because I know Nobby Case has been involved with some of them, if not most, which says volumes really about the quality of the workmanship that's gone into it, because Nobby doesn't put out a slapdash job. There's no two ways of putting it. So all of these trucks will stand up to scrutiny. It is a fantastic collection. Personally, obviously, I'm absolutely gutted it's all going, because Ben was very kind to say, you want to take anything to a show, just, you know, let me know and we'll make it happen. And so I've driven the 143, I've driven the F16, and it's just so much pleasure driving them vintage trucks because they've been done properly. They are just truly wonderful trucks. I'm going to be using the FH16 in East Coast Truckers Children's Convoy at the end of August. And then, then it's down to the retro with it. There's also two unrestored Volvo F89s, which are Greek imports. There's an F88 and an F86, because I'm going to be bringing the FH16 with the 88 and the 86 down to the retro. I also got to drive the 88 and the 86 just at a local show that I took them to recently. Again, just they're like new inside. They're just absolutely spotless. They drive lovely, especially considering how old they are. I'd never driven an F86 up until this point. I'd driven an 88 only around a yard once. So to actually get in them and get into high range, essentially, was just wonderful. And the gears are tight. Everything's just how it should be. And I'll tell you what, that 86, how people used to go to the Middle East in one of them is beyond me, because they are so small.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it? When you look at the luxuries that you have in trucks now compared to back then, and like you say, the space, it's just unreal, isn't it?
Yeah. And yeah, at the time, they were like a spaceship. When they came out, drivers just had British trucks, and most shunned them. They didn't want them because they're these newfangled weird trucks that we've never seen before. Because I remember talking to Paul Rowlands, and he said, I don't really want one of them. Then they'll get in it, and you've got a seat that moves, and it's not bolted to the back of the cab. It's quiet, and it's got a radio, and it's got a radio that you can actually hear. And all of a sudden, they're fighting themselves over it, and the rest is history. Volvo just started wiping the floor. And you could have one of these in your collection at the auction, which, like you say, is happening the weekend after the retro show. So those three trucks will be on display, so you'll be able to see the workmanship that's gone into them, just for examples. Like I say, there's two unrestored 88 or 89s, because they're both left-hand drive, both Greek imports. I think they're both rigids as well, but they'll be in the auction. I believe CVA will have, they've been starting to put it out on the social media. Obviously, I will put some stuff on the social media when this comes out as well. And I dare say, I've just been so busy, I've not had a chance to look at their website, but I dare say it will all be listed on there, won't it?
Yeah. No, that F88, I think that was only finished last year, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I think Nobby bought it to Swedfest. But yeah, what a stunning restoration that really is. It's brand new.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. No, I know Jason Dean had owned it previously at some point as well.
Yeah.
He said, but I don't know the rest of the history. So yeah, they're all every single truck there, just straight, honest, really nice trucks. I personally think my sort of gut feeling is the F16 and the 143, I reckon, will probably go to Ireland. That's what I reckon.
Yeah.
I think that's probably where they'll go. The others, not so sure.
It's always a difficult one, isn't it? I think there was, just talking about auctions in general, it's the last couple of years, there's obviously been quite a few, and there was the McGovern one, which was, I think, 2 years ago, which, like, some of the money some of those trucks fetched was, like, off the Richter scale, and it sort of... I don't really know what happened. It just seemed to, everybody thought everything was worth an absolute fortune. But I think there was a lot of people who just wanted those particular trucks at that auction, which set the prices quite high.
Well, that's it.
And then, it's a funny old world, because ultimately everything has its day, doesn't it?
That's it, yeah.
But it'd be very interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's really surprising what makes the money, because was it the Ken Thomas or the John Thomas auction who was selling the Savium that went for incredible money, really, which was quite a surprise. And then other stuff you thought would make strong money that didn't get sort of anywhere near it.
Yeah, it's mad. I mean, it's the same as every auction or sale, isn't it? If one man wants it or two men want it, then that's when it's going to start bidding up, isn't it? If you've only got one man on it, then it doesn't get to where it needs to be, really.
But, that's it. You just two people after it, and away you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So many thanks to CVA Auctions for sponsoring not only this episode of the podcast, but also the retro show. And like we say, the Ben Kemp collection. It's a stunning, stunning collection. Check them out. If you're in the market for a classic truck, you generally won't find anything much better coming up for sale than one of Ben's.
No, they are. They're stunning. And he's never really been one to bring them to the shows, has he? I think I only met him last year for the first time at Swedfest, and I said, I'd love to get you to retro, but I didn't mean in the guise that the trucks are coming to retro.
Yeah, ideally year after year. So
exactly.
Which also puts me in the predicament of, I really want to go to Swedfest, Ben's selling his trucks. If they're all sold, I've got no truck to take. So
no,
So I don't really know what I'm going to be doing yet. So, yeah, I might have to try and beg, borrow. Well, I can't steal a truck. Beg or borrow one off somebody else. And
I'm sure you'll manage. You've never failed so far. You've always managed to turn up in something quite nice.
So. Well, that's it. Yeah, so I'm sure I can find something somehow.
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, so... Brilliant. So we'll just move on to Fredfest now, because that's a very new one. This year was only the second one, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And I'm gutted I couldn't come, but I'd had basically financial issues because of some unfortunate set of circumstances that happened at home. So I had to work.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is, yeah. I was proper gutted, but I just couldn't waste the opportunity of getting some days, extra days, and try and get some money back in the bank. So
That's fair enough, mate. We all have these things to deal with now and then, don't we?
Well, that's it, mate. Yep. So sometimes you can't do it all. But I attended last year, which is the first year.
Yeah.
And again, it was a brilliant, fantastic, lovely weekend. So how did Fredfest come about?
So Fred Parker's a real good mate of mine. We've been mates for many years, and we'd always sort of joked about saying doing a show. We did actually do one. I forget how many years ago it was now. It was when we had Josh's 4 series. So it was probably about, I'd say 2017, 2018, something like that. And we had it in the field next to the pub in his village. There was a field behind the pub, and we had a chat with the landlord, and he said, yeah, no problem. So I can't remember where we met in the morning. But it might have been the airport. I can't remember. Anyway, then we had a ride down to Dover.
Yeah.
And we went into Dover Docks and turned around and came out again so we could get the historic photo of sort of pulling out of Dover Docks onto Jubilee Way.
Brilliant.
And there was a couple of photographers locally who knew about it. So they were taking the photos. That was great. And then we went up to the Dover Transport Museum and went in there and had a good look round, and then we went back up to Fred's village at Stelling Minnis and parked there and went in the pub and do as we usually do when we get together. So
have a couple of ales.
That's it, you got it. So I think quite a few people got stuck in the field because it was a bit boggy. But that's how and we did that years ago, and then since then Fred has massively extended his yard, which is absolutely incredible, and he's got a big field now at the back. And obviously I'll go down there quite a bit, and we're just chatting. We said, this is crying out for a truck show. And so anyway, we did it last year. And I mean, one of the things, a sort of group of friends, not that mad. We used to do Peterborough years ago, but we're getting a little bit old for Peterborough now. Well, Lincoln as it is now.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let's do it that weekend then. We're not worried about how many people come, and that's what we've done. So, and I think we ended up this year with similar numbers to what we did last year, to be honest, but it's just a really nice gathering. And it's nice. We have, like, for example, Ed Bond and Paul Cecil and people like that who are generally at the shows, spend all weekend polishing because they're there to win, you know, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
And they're just there chilling out, having an ice cream, sat in a deck chair. And, you know, luckily the weather was on our side. And this year we had some absolute lunatics there doing lawnmower racing. Oh my God, they have got a screw loose.
I've seen them at Kelsall. They are fantastic to watch.
Oh, brilliant fun. Yeah, brilliant fun. And so that was a really good thing that, you know, that happened there. And we also had we always do a charity auction, which we make an awful lot of money out of basically stitching people up. But we ended up, if you've ever been to Fred's yard, he's got an old London taxi that he leaves in the yard because he gets a lot of people staying there, putting their horses in the stables and staying overnight. And of course, they're in a truck, so they can't pop off and get some food or whatever. Generally they're out of hours, or, you know, sort of big horse boxes aren't the easiest thing to park in pub car parks either. So he's got the taxi there for people to use if they need to shoot down the shop or go and grab some grub or, you know, go out for a meal, they can do. So anyway, the taxi was there, and we've used it as like a little well, a lot of people have golf carts, don't they? But obviously it's up and down the field. So we were using the taxi. Anyway, this year we decided to put that in the auction as well. So we drove it in the tent. And some guys from the lads from Cool Guys in Holland were there. And they ended up buying the taxi. I think, I forget what they, I think, I think it was something like £1,800 or something got for it. And Fred threw in their ferry ride back in the morning. So they were literally...
Well, top man.
Yeah, they were leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning to get the ferry back to obviously into Calais and then over to Holland. So it was just hilarious. And for something that we were just sort of asked around for bits and bobs, you know, people are always really generous with models and stuff like that. And of course, all the money raised there goes to the Inter Jockeys Fund. So that's good. And that's something that's really close to Fred's heart with the bits and bobs that we've done since his father passed away.
Yeah.
But that's been the charity of choice. So, that was really, really good. But it's just a really, really nice chill weekend and everybody who comes just loves it.
Yeah.
And we get to see some nice different stuff as well that you don't see at all the shows. You know, a few of the Irish lads came over and just had a really good weekend. So
and again, it speaks volumes about the fact that, just say, Edward Bond has gone along rather than go to Truckfest Peter, and the trucks that Ed drives are best of show. I mean, he won best of show at Swedefest last year, and I dare say he'd win stuff at Truckfest, but the fact that he comes along to Fredfest because of the people and the atmosphere, that just speaks volumes, doesn't it? In my
absolutely. Yeah, we're all good mates, and you know, it's not very often. 9 times out of 10, we do see each other at shows, but of course, you're all there doing the same thing. You're all polishing and trying to get the lorries up the best you can, so you don't get the opportunity to sort of relax and chill out. And you know, what most people did that weekend, they did have a bit of a polish round. Of course, it wouldn't, you know, Edward's trucks, of course, as you know, you'd never see one, you know, not up to scratch, but just getting a little jobs done on them, you know, the bits that you don't always get to do at a show because you're too busy getting the important bits done. So, yeah, it's written again, Paul Cecil as well. You know, Paul is very well known for his, you know, immaculate trucks, and he came down and, you know, just had a real good laugh. So that's what it's all about, really. So it will be happening again next year. There's talk of us making it a little bit bigger. And one thing we haven't done before is opened it to the public, because
you then run into public liability and
exactly
stuff like that, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, at the end of the day, it's Fred's yard as well. And where, you know, there's the horses in there and everything like that. So we do have to be mindful of that.
Yeah.
But equally, I think we are going to look at possibly doing that and, you know, using some Harris fencing to sort of direct people straight through the yard into the field so that it doesn't interfere with the livestock, so to speak. So
The day-to-day running of the yard.
Yeah, so no, that should be good. But yeah, it's really, really nice weekend and a beautiful part of the country as well. So,
oh, definitely. Mind you, I can only go by last year. In the evening, it was freezing. I couldn't believe how
it was.
But for me, I was so glad I actually had my trousers with me.
Yeah.
And you could hear just so many night heaters got fired up that night. I just couldn't believe how cold it was.
We were really unlucky, unfortunately, because this year it wasn't too bad at all. And to be honest, last year, because it was the first time, we just had some sort of tents that Fred already owned. And we had a proper marquee this year, which made a difference. And we had it positioned so that if the wind did get up, that we had our back to it, if you know what I mean. So that made an enormous difference. So, yeah, it was good.
Can imagine. So is there anywhere sort of on the socials or anything that people, if they're interested in finding out more about Fredfest, can go to?
Yeah, I mean, there's a Facebook page, Fredfest 26. I will be announcing later in the year the dates for next year. And, you know, if people are interested, we were a little bit slow last year in getting the tickets arranged, which was partly my fault because I have a real job to do as well. So
we've all got the day job to do, haven't we?
So, but no, I will be on it this year. We're going to get a ticket master thing set up so that as soon as I announce it, people can then book in so that it's for definite. So that'll be one to look out for.
Excellent.
If people fancy something a little bit different.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as long as the dates work, I'll definitely come down for the weekend as well, because it's great fun.
Yeah. What did you bring last year?
I bought Richard Warren's brand new FH.
That's right,
left-hand drive. First time I've driven Volvo's camera system.
Oh, right,
And it's the first time I've driven a left-hand drive in some time. Luckily, I was only solo.
Yeah.
But as you know, the lanes of Kent aren't particularly big, are they? And so his truck was not very old at all, and I was just like, oh, but what am I doing? What have I done? I was terrified of doing any damage to it.
Yeah, that little lane down to Fred's Yard isn't the kindest for trucks, is it? And you generally get some supermarket superstar coming the other way at about 100 mile an hour. Oh my God!
Yeah, yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. So what's the final show? You say Blocks? Well, it wasn't Blocks.
Blocksum. It's our local Blocksum, steam rally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blocksum steam rally and country fair. So we do that. That's every June.
Yeah.
And I literally just run the modern commercial section there, which we started, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago. It was always sort of, as with a lot of steam rallies over the years, it's sort of been based on steam. And as with everything, you've got to move forward, really, and
you do, yeah,
bring some more modern stuff in, because you know that the people that follow the older stuff simply aren't around. So that's a really nice show. Got something for everybody there, you know, from sort of crafts and arts and crafts, and there's a market, and they've got animals, and there's ex-military vehicles,
yeah,
obviously the steam engines, yeah, lots of stuff, lots of car clubs, and so again, a real nice variety weekend.
Yeah,
and that's just outside Blocksum, usually the last weekend of June. So
right.
But again, June obviously nowadays just becomes absolute carnage, doesn't it, with shows?
Yeah.
There's something every weekend, and you know, it generally clashes. I think it clashed sadly with the Shed truck show this year, you know, so we miss that, but it's just the way it goes. You can't do it all, can you?
No, that's exactly it.
And it's nice to do some different shows as well sometimes, you know.
Yeah,
just a little bit of variety, isn't it? So
oh, exactly. I love a steam rally, and obviously Kelsall, my second year this year at Kelsall, and that's just unbelievably brilliant. Kelsall is there's so much there, especially with the ERFs alone. That's an amazing show. And there's a local steam rally I go to every year as well, Henham Steam Rally in September, and that's been going for an awful long time. It's been like 40 odd years or so. But like you say, because the older generation who were sort of into the steam and stuff like that, sadly, they passed away, and stuff, and steam is a really expensive thing to maintain with them boilers. So, yeah, you just need to incorporate some slightly more modern stuff. And Henham Steam Rally is the same. We've got a few more modern commercials come along to it now as well, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's It's something for everybody, and you just got to move forward with the times. And it's like I was saying about the retro earlier, you know, some people expect to come and see wall-to-wall F10s and 143s, and you know, it's just not, you know, we're at the retro now, that you know, the rolling 15 year, you know, we're almost into FH4s and you know, Scania S series, aren't we? So it's well, you know, just
that's it. And somebody who was born like 15 years ago, it's coming up to close to being able to do their tests, and they won't really have that sort of association like we do with the F series and the early FHs and stuff like that, because they were just weren't on the road as they were growing up, sort of thing.
No, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And it is, I think, as with most hobbies that people do when they get to their sort of 40s and 50s, it is to do with your childhood, isn't it? That you remember, yeah, either doing stuff with grandparents or parents, or, you know,
yeah,
which is how most of the, think most of the sort of truck enthusiasts are, you know, used to go with their grandparents or parents when they're in the school holidays, and well, like I did. So
yeah, exactly. That's it. Like I say, you just have to move the time. So, but the thing is, as you'll certainly know, you're never going to please everybody. It's as simple as that. It's a completely impossible thing to do.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, as I say, I think we do okay. We don't get that many complaints, but as I say, if we do, that's generally what it is. You know, people don't like seeing the newer stuff, but it is nice to please everybody. And you know, for example, Coles is generally have their whole fleet there, which you don't see that at any other show.
Yeah,
because they're such a busy working fleet that, you know, they work weekends quite often, they're away abroad and stuff like that. So
yeah,
you know, that's one thing you do get to see. And they're, as you know, their trucks are pretty special. So that's a nice point. You know, you do get to see those close up.
But also, if you've got a haulier sponsoring your show, and you turn around and say to them, that's all well and good, but you can't bring those four trucks over there.
That's not
going to go down well, is it?
No, exactly. And if you do, you know, because it is an enthusiast show, but equally lots of people come along, and it is nice sometimes, you know, for example, to see an F86, then an F10, then an FH, sort of 16, you know, like version 4 or 5, yeah, just to see how trucks have moved on to what they were like. Like you were saying earlier, you know, you can't believe how people used to do those sort of, you know, weeks and weeks away in one of those little bubble cab F86s.
That's it, yeah.
When, you know, a lot of truck drivers moan if they haven't got a microwave now. So it's,
well, exactly, yeah. For day work.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it's just, and yeah, it's all about trying to please people. And like you say, you're never going to please everybody, but it's just, exactly. You do your best. So.
That's it. Yeah. Now, one thing I will put out there as well, I've had a suggestion from a listener, a good friend of mine, to this podcast. And he suggested, whilst we're at the retro show, of perhaps getting as many listeners to the podcast together as possible to get like a group photo.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where on earth would be the best place to try and achieve that, but I would say the Sunday would be the better day, wouldn't it? Because Sunday is the main day for your members of the public in general to come along, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the day when everybody's in. Like Saturday is a show day, but obviously some people don't arrive till sort of midday Saturday, and you know, some people even arrive Saturday evening. So and Sunday is the day when it's a static show, that there's no vehicle movement. So yeah, that is the best time of the day to do it. And
absolutely,
you know, as for a sort of central point, generally where the marquee and the bar area is, that's always a good central point to meet. You know, yeah, depending what you want in the photo, really.
I just thought, like, I'll put it out there, and if people can give me feedback, if they think it's a good or bad idea, and we'll perhaps try and arrange it, and it gives me a bit of time to have a think about where we could perhaps gather, because we could perhaps go up on the bank where it's a bit quieter or something like that, you know, with less sort of members of public about, sort of thing. But if people let me know what they think, we'll sort of have a think about it as well and come up with I would say something like 11 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock, you know, so it's not too early and it's not too late.
Yeah.
Somewhere we just, everybody just gather, and we'll just get a group photo just for a bit of a giggle and see how many people who listen come along.
You could say you're going to meet at Jim Barker's lorry, because everybody knows Jim Barker.
Well, that's very true, yeah.
And he wants to be parked on the hill this year. He's given me strict instructions. So, yeah, that might be a good central point. So.
Fair enough, yeah. We'll perhaps aim for Jim Boy's truck then.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, we'll perhaps do that.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
Right, well, I think I've taken up more enough of your time, because I know how busy you are, Lee.
No, that's all right. It's nice to talk to you. And,
yes, mate,
long overdue. I know we keep saying we're going to do it. But,
yeah, we finally got round to it now. But it's,
yeah, exactly.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I shall see you fairly soon. It's going to seem like a blink of an eye, isn't it? So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'll be here and gone before we know it.
Before we go, just in case people don't know what the dates are for the retro show, we better just say them just in case.
So it's the 5th and 6th of September, which is about 4 or 5 weeks' time, at the British Motor Museum in Gaydon in Warwickshire.
Yep.
Junction 12 of the M40. So very easy to find. It's got big signs on the motorway junction.
Yeah.
And again, like you said earlier, it is a great day out, because only, you know, most people who are into trucks are petrol heads anyway, and you've got the opportunity to see the motor museum, which is covered on part of your entry. So you can go in there and have a wander around and reminisce on the old times of the 70s and 80s cars.
Absolutely. Is there still spaces left for trucks to book in, or is it sold out?
I think we've still got a few at the moment. I'm not one to be sort of trying to sell out in 24 hours, so I'll just sort of, you know, launch it gently. But I did have an email last week to say we are getting really close, because as we do each year, we tend to have to sort of shut the bookings down earlier and earlier because more and more people want to come. So, yeah, if you haven't booked in already, I do put quite regular posts on social media to say to people, you know, if your name's not done, you're not coming in, so to speak. But
exactly.
But yeah, make sure you get booked in, because we've got a lot of, got some new sponsors this year. We've got some new trade stands. So yeah, it'll be a little bit different, which I always like to try and do, try and mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously there's a CVA auctions, want a nice stand as well to put the trucks on. So
yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And of course, they can meet Jim. Jim Barker.
They can, Jim Barker.
The famous, yeah. Jim Barker, yeah.
The exactly. Fact, yeah. He could, well, you could do an autograph signing session with Jim Barker, yeah. and the group photo on
and
the Sunday morning.
So, yeah, exactly, yeah, mate. There you go. Perfect, absolutely.
You watch
perfect.
It. I'll wait for the message to come through in a minute, what you're saying about me.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Right, Lee, it's been a pleasure. We shall see you very soon.
Will do. Thanks ever so much. Fantastic. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, mate.
Take
See
care,
you later.
Mate. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.